All right, so Hebrews chapter 11, as you know, we've been going through several different studies on the reality and the fact that God is love, and we've been reading every service from Hebrews chapter 11, where that mindset came from, because God really, you know, God is interested in much more than just religious obligation. And in fact, he's not really interested in religious obligation. He's interested in a love that compels you to want to do things for him, you know. In no relationship lasts very long if people are compelled by obligation to be involved in a relationship. You know, I was reading, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, the word of God says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, Sunday we talked a little bit about the fact of God being a listener. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's really impossible to please someone that you care about if you don't listen to them. And so God calls us to listen to the word of God so we know how to please him. And God's desire is that we come unto him. As I've been quoting quite often, Matthew 11, verse 28, the word of God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God knows that the way this world is, it's so easy for us to be heavy laden. And God would like to give rest. But we won't come unto him if we don't believe that he is. And so we want to look again at the reality of the fact that God is love, some different attributes about himself. And we'll start tonight in 1 John chapter 1 as we've been building an acrostic for each service as we've been studying this. And it's, to me, one of the most exciting studies that I've done. And I thank God for it. And I hope it's been an encouragement and a strength to you as well. We're going to pray in just a moment if you find your place. And I want to pray for Pastor Wheeler. That's a prayer request I was trying to think about. He's preaching in the Caribbean right now. And he wants special prayer for the meetings. And he asked specifically for prayer that he would be humble. And that that he would be, stay focused on the Lord. Because a lot of great challenges there. Because he's in Trinidad right now. Probably preaching this very moment. So pray for Pastor Wheeler. And we'll pray for God to open our hearts and allow us to catch the magnitude of the joy that God is love. So Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for your goodness to us. And I thank you for these precious souls of yours that have come together tonight for thy name's sake. Father, many came in weary and worn. Many came in strong and encouraged. But you know the condition of every heart. And maybe some just somewhere in the middle. But Father, I pray that by the word of God tonight and the power of the Holy Ghost that you will turn everybody's heart toward thee. And every heart, after hearing of you and your love, would come unto you as you called them, and you could give them the rest in you like you'd like them to have. I pray you be upon Pastor Wheeler tonight. I pray you keep him humble. I pray that you keep him fearless of anything except but you. Help him to be focused steadfastly on the word of God and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and fill him with the Holy Ghost, Father, and so that he can, when the meetings are over, he'll be able to say great things you have done, and he'll know that he's done as you have commanded. And so meet with us tonight. We thank you for your presence already, because two or three have gathered together in thy name. And Father, since you are in the midst of what's here tonight, help us to respect your presence. Help us to appreciate your presence, and help us to honor you as you are present. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want you to look at tonight in 1 John chapter 5 regarding God is love. The Bible tells us in this passage, first of all, that God is light. So the L we're looking at tonight is light. And in verse 1 of John chapter 1, 1 John 1, the word of God says this. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And every time I read that passage, I think about John writing this epistle and them having handled Jesus Christ after he's risen from the grave, you know, and just some of them put their hands into his, Thomas, we know, put his hands into his wounds, into his side. But here's John, he walked with Jesus, he talked with Jesus, and he's writing about something that he personally knows about. They've handled the word of life. They've handled the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why our testimony, we go out to reach people for Christ, is supposed to be something that we've experienced, that we've handled. When we talk about Jesus, we're not talking about some abstract religious figure. We're talking about someone we've met personally in a time and a place when we've been saved by the grace of God. In verse 2, the Bible says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And, you know, the magnitude of God being light, you know, I was thinking about, the technical definition of light is that natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. You know, through God, we can really see things as they really are. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the Bible tells us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, I was thinking about that passage. It doesn't say men love dark. But they love darkness. See, darkness is not the total absence of light. In this world we live in, it's darkness all around us, but there's still some light here. No one that I know of really completely likes dark. They may like darkness, but even the things of this world, people have some ability to walk in what they think is darkness, the things that are against God. And they can even have that walk that they have against God because of the grace of God. Because God allows them to have breath, and he allows them to have life. And even in that the sin that the world walks in, there's still some light by which they can find the way home to Jesus Christ. Because again, the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And, you know, and I was thinking about how it says men love darkness rather than light. You know, and I was thinking about in the mind, you know, love is much different than like. You know, the world, if they're really honest, they don't like their sin and the effects of sin, but they love it because they're loyal to it. If you think about 1 Corinthians, everything they said, they're long-suffering with their sin and they're patient with their sin. They're gentle with their sin because they won't get rid of it, you know. They're kind to their sin. Even children of God, sometimes when we get away from the Lord, we're long-suffering with our sin. You know, we're patient as if somehow the way, the Bible said that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. And sometimes we're patient in our way that goes contrary to God, hoping somehow that our way is going to work out. We're patient in our way. We're long-suffering in our way. And I can think of times before Christ and after Christ where I stayed away from God's way and I continually walked in a way just almost as if my way, hopefully some type of way, my way was going to work out. I didn't like the way because, especially as a child of God, grieved by the Holy Ghost, not completely walking in the fullness of God, but still, I didn't like it, but I showed love for it because I was patient to it. I was kind to it. I would do everything, and I just continue until that point when I would finally listen to God and repent. And God is light because God, the Bible says, for where there is no vision, the people perish. And if there's no light, you can't have vision. And as you think about the magnitude of God being light, without God, that's why so many people don't have any hope. I've talked to so many people. You witness to them and about different things. You try to give them hope. You try to give them encouragement. And this, I've heard this so many times. I just can't see it. You know why? Because it's the absence of God in their life. And God is light. And you know, if I want the will of God, let me put it like this. The Bible says that God is good. If I want a life that has purpose and meaning, without God, I can't see it. Because God is light. God is what makes visible to me that path, that plan, that direction, which is really best for me. Many paradoxes in the Bible, many things, a thing I say probably almost every service, because it's true and necessary. The Bible says that if you lose your life, you'll save it. And that's a paradox, you know, because you lose your life, you think, man, I'm dead, it's over. But when you lose your life, you experience a resurrected life by Jesus Christ, you know, because that's the power of the resurrection. We have life tonight if we're born again because of Jesus' death. And not just because he died, Jesus found out that, well, he knew immediately. And see, think about this. This is so, thank you, Lord. Jesus wants us to be like him. Do you know why Jesus went to the cross? Do you know why Jesus willingly died? Why did he willingly die? Simple answer. There's a couple. We might come up with. Pardon me, Elizabeth?
For us.
For us, amen, absolutely. But why did he, and he died for us, so why did he really have confidence enough to die for us? Pardon me? He trusted God. What did he trust God to do? He'd raise you from the dead. And he wants you and I to live the same way. Put your life down, believing that God will resurrect it. Lose your life, believing that God will pick it up from the grave. Amen. And you know, it's really, everything is so simple when you really look at the life of Christ. And that's why the Bible is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And see, I'm no rocket scientist. I'm kind of excited because that just came to me while I was preaching this. And that's why I love serving God, because it's not anything about what I know. It's about everything that God knows, you know. And you think about the magnitude of that. Jesus willingly died because he believed his Father would raise him up. And you know why? That I think of my own Christian life. Well, I struggle. Even that very verse that I mention every Sunday about losing my life to God, missing out on the faith to believe that, Lord, if I really lose myself completely, I'll actually be resurrected to a life that gives life. You know, she talked about her testimony at work. I was thinking about that. The way we have that testimony is by losing my life, and God resurrects my life to be able to give life. You know, if you want to be a better witness, if you want to be a better Christian, a better follower of the Lord, as you lose your life, God will resurrect you into a situation to where someone else can actually be saved by your life. But without that loss, without the death of Christ, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, the Bible says. Without that death, we'd have no hope in life tonight. We would be bringing in some goats and some bulls, hoping that we sacrifice enough. And imagine killing a goat every service, or every time you came together, bringing doves, turtle doves, whatever the case may be, shedding blood so that we might experience forgiveness from God. And God is that light that he takes away the darkness. You know, when in darkness, of course, it's obscurity, it's unclear. And you know, I said it before just because it's true. You know, it's so simple to really experience God as a light. Just look directly into it. You know, as you look into the sun, if you look directly into the sun, guess what? All you'll see is the sun. I mean, you try to, don't try it really, but every child does, you know. Parents say, don't look at the sun and burn your eyes out. I remember that. And what do? You go outside and because we're all rebels at heart, right? You know, and so, but you know, when you take time, we sang about taking time to be holy, spend much time in secret, you get along with the Lord and you look directly into the light. Isn't this amazing? You know, I was thinking about that verse. I was sharing it with a pastor friend of mine. I've been reading a book on prayer, and I shared him what I read in the book, and how God said when you go into the prayer closet, he says, shut the door. You know, it's two things. When you shut the door, you shut everything out, but you also shut yourself in. I'm amazed at the difference that if I come here to pray, how I connect with God if I just turn my cell phone off. And there's many times I come here to pray and my cell phone will be on and it won't even ring. But my concentration and my focus is totally different if I shut it off before I start to pray. And because sometimes there's a sound, you think, was that a vibrate? Or so many different things go across my mind. But there's, when you go in and you actually shut the door, it puts you in a situation. And I'm amazed at how much more productive the prayer time is. And how much more God speaks to me. How much more He cleanses me and reveals my own faults and my failures to me. But we all need that time where we have to shut the door. And that's that directly looking into the light. And many people today that have a desire to love God and have a desire for God to be first in their life, they just don't see the significance of the Christian life many times. They don't see why we should be so committed. They don't see why God should have all of us. And I should say, I don't see sometimes. And it's because of not spending enough time just directly looking into the light. Because when you look at God as light, man, it's amazing how many things become visible. You know, if you've ever experienced somebody loving you, being loved by someone puts a total different perspective on things around you. One of the things I was amazed at when I first got saved, at how many people just really were concerned and cared about me. Dwayne was telling me his brother, when he went to the Barbados, to the church that he was in there, when God used to transform his, turn his life around, that his brother just couldn't understand how these total strangers were interested in him. You know, I mean, just wanted to know about him and really cared about him. You know, and they asked him about his life, and he just, you know, he said, hey, you know, well, I don't know if you know how people talk. I ain't about nobody being in my business. You know, that's how we say it when we're out away from everything. But and when I got saved, I was amazed how many people would come up and say, "How you doing?" And they would wait for an answer. You know, it's not like when you go in the store and say, "Hey, how are you today?" And they say, "Good." You go, "What's next?" You know, and you don't even wait for an answer. I was in a bank yesterday, and I told Haley I'd never seen him before. So she says, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Good." And I say what I normally say. You heard me say, "Well, can you tell me the truth?" I said, "Are you really doing good, or are you just supposed to say that?" And it stunned her totally. She just kind of stopped and she started thinking. "Well, I guess I'm all right." "No," I said, "no, but are you good?" I said, "Think about it, you know." And I said, "Really?" I said, I'm a pastor of a church. I serve the Lord. I have time to listen. If you really have something you need to share, you know, be glad to pray with people." And that light makes us visible, you know. And that made a trip to the bank of great significance, because it allowed me opportunity to see that God put me in connection with a soul that I could have an opportunity to make a difference in their life. It wasn't just some, you know, I used to look at what I call the non-spiritual tasks of the ministry as interruptions and just bothersome, you know. But anytime there's some contact with a person, through looking at Christ, God has put me in contact with somebody to be able to reach them. I remember when I lived in the U.S. and we, most of the bills are you mail out. I would put gospel tracts in the bills and things like that, because realize, though you don't enjoy paying the bill, you can get some light out there, you know, opportunity to share Jesus Christ with someone. And seeing God as light makes everything visible. And when you're loved, it makes a total different perspective on it. We go check the door. It may have accidentally got locked because there was another group here. I just in case somebody trying to get in here. And I think about, I was referring to the love of Christ in the church when I first got saved, how they were interested in me. And I remember when Larry was born, they brought us a meal over. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. I didn't know people did that. You know, Doug and Sandy Sprouse, we didn't really know them, but they showed some love. And it gave me. And see, when I was 18, I said I'd never be a Christian. But things like that, that love that they showed, that light, caused me to see some things about Christ I could not see before. That maybe I just had a bad religious experience, and maybe through the love, the light that I saw from people, I began to see that, you know, maybe it was just where I was at. Maybe there's nothing wrong with Christ after all. And when you experience the love of God, it totally allows you to see things in a different way, in a different perspective. Now, in 1 John, we look at 1 John chapter 5 now. 1 John chapter 5. So we see, first of all, that God is light. Second thing we look at regarding the love of God, God overcomes. This, someone came in with this, and we, when y'all delivered your acrostic, love overcomes. You know, as we talked a little bit, some of these subjects overlap a little bit, but you can't reinforce too much of what God really is like. You know, it's amazing what love and really overcomes, and God is love. And so through God, things can be overcome. Really, anything can be overcome. And 1 John 5, verse 1, the Word of God says this: whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And this verse 3, I want you to memorize, you ought to memorize this verse. This is really the heartbeat behind, from my standpoint, everything that I'm trying to preach about the love of God, or God being love. And even by coming to God, they believe that he is. That when you see a command of God, it won't be grievous. When you see verses like, whosoever should be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant. That when you see that, it's not grievous to be a servant of God. And when you see different verses, just think about your own commands. I won't even say them. Think about the things in the Christian life right now that you know are right. But can we be honest, since we're in church? You ever find something in service of God that you really just don't want to do? You know it's right, but you just don't want to do it. Okay, there's one honest person. Let's say something. How about love your enemies? Everybody, who's the line person? Hey, man, I can't wait to go love my enemies, you know. Bless them to curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And you know what those things? They're grievous. But through the love of God, and God being love, you think, man, it's all right to be like Jesus. And things that used to be a weight will become golden opportunities to show forth love toward the one that saved your soul and gave his life for you. So we see here, verse 3 again, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth is that Jesus is the Son of God? And love overcomes. Love, we looked at it, I think one of the other, I can't remember, love overlooks, it looks past what we do, but love not only just looks past, but love overcomes. People, love sees a vision that nobody else can see. If you're saved, depending on where your background or where you were at, at some point in your life, if you really are saved, you found yourself hopeless. And you found out that through the love of God, there was hope. So love overcame your hopelessness. In Christ, whatever stage you're in tonight, one of Satan's chief tricks and tactics is to make you believe that there is no hope. Think about the very first person of faith he dealt with, Abraham. The Bible says that God went to Abraham and said, you're going to have a child at old age. You know, and no one would cause him to be doubt except with Satan. And the Bible said that for Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope. So the love of God, because God is love, overcame, the Bible says, the deadness of Sarah's womb. That means it was physically impossible for her to have children, but God overcame that. Overcame Abraham's age. Because he is love. And you know what love does? Again, is suffer long. Love keeps his word too, because God gave him a promise and he kept it. He overcame that failure. And where we are tonight, if you have a desire, and I trust you do, I believe you have a desire to serve God and meet the Lord with the great commandment being intact in your life, loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Can we be honest again in church? Is that ever seem like an impossibility to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your strength? Did that ever seem like an impossibility to anybody? Well, God can overcome that. Because you know what the power of love is? You know, when the power of love, if you think about this, the experience you feel of love is the power in someone else. And since God is love, he overcomes that fear. He even overcomes our faithlessness. Thank God that in times when we have no faith, he comes to us and gives us more faith. Amen. And there's so many times, I mean, I can tell you the number of times that I've wisdom. I said, God, I don't have any idea what to do. God, I give up. Would you help me? You know one of the most powerful prayer meetings I've ever had when I just cried to God, help me, Lord. Just help me, you know. And thank God the Bible says that the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for groanings which should not be uttered. And see that, and thank God for that. You know, God knew. You know one of the chief things that keeps people from praying sometimes? Well, I don't know what to ask God. I know I need help, but I really just don't know what to ask. Well, the Bible says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for groanings which cannot be uttered. Get in the closet and stay there with God. Shut the door and say, God, I need help. And you'd be amazed. And you know what? And say it till you get help. I've been amazed sometimes. I mean, sometimes I'll be in a prayer closet and I'll just start saying, God, I need some help. In fact, last week I was trying to study my Bible. I was in Country Style, one of my satellite offices around the city. I was praying and I said, God help me, Lord. And finally, I got so emotional I had to leave the place, go and get in the car, because I just started weeping. Plus, the Spirit of God started speaking to me, and all I did was say, God help me. I need to be like you. I mean, and he did. And thank God. And he'll do the same for anybody. You know, he overcame. You know what? In that cry, I would experience hopelessness. In that cry, I felt so empty. But God overcame that. You know, and, you know, I read a good quote. It says, it's talking about prayer. He that is most lonely in the eyes of the world is the least lonely in the eyes of God. And it was talking about the principle of shutting the door in the prayer closet. Because sometimes it's hard to shut that door because we're afraid of missing out on something. But when we really close ourselves off with Him, we really have that void, that emptiness, that loneliness overcome. And God says, whatsoever, 1 John again, 5 verse 4, said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Being born of God, which God is love, God love overcomes. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Thank God that love overcomes. You know the word overcome? It means to conquer. Many people, they don't really feel like they've conquered anything, but love can overcome that because God is love. It means to subdue. That means to take control. Many people, they feel like their life is out of control. But God can overcome that. It means to get the better of, you know. Way to say that means to win, you know. When you're in some type of contest, you get the better of somebody, you win. I remember when I was in high school, at a competition called Persuasive Speaking, you know. You were trying to have a subject and you tried to get the better of the person you were speaking against, you know, or sometimes people just in sarcasm, they just witch back and forth and try to throw the best joke. But God says we can overcome the world. And many feel like they're subdued by the world. Many feel like they're locked in to live the way the world wants them to live. But God is love, and He overcomes that. There's many a person, I think of different parents that make an impact on a child when they feel like their life was meaningless. And the love of the parent overcame the faults, the love, the failures. I think particularly of adoption. You have a child in an orphanage somewhere dealing with wondering why the parents left them, why the parents didn't want them. I remember talking to somebody one time and just crying out, but why did my father not think I was worth anything? But when they were adopted, God filled that void. The Bible speaks of salvation as being adopted. Because, you know, Satan will leave us out to dry, you know. Because the Bible said before Christ, according to John chapter 8, verse 44, that we are of our father, the devil. And by the way, the devil's not a good father. I mean, he'll lead you in the wrong direction. He'll lie to you. He'll discourage you. Do everything he can to destroy your life. And really, he wants nothing to do with you. But when you are saved by the grace of God, he overcomes that emptiness. He overcomes that lack of belonging, that just all everything that God is. And But you know how you experience an overcoming feeling? You look directly into the light. Because you know what? Satan is a liar. And many people are looking or living to overcome just earthly situations instead of living to experience eternal victory. Next thing we see, and so God is light. God overcomes, L-O, and V, values. Someone said God values. And God really just values who we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Of course, we could say initially, we know that God valued us because in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God showed his great value for us by giving his life for us. And value is generally determined by what someone pays for something. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, the word of God says here, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. God showed his value for surrendering his riches that we might be made rich. And what a great God. You know, and all of us in this room, I'd say it's pretty consistent. We experience value sometimes by the magnitude of gifts that people give to us. Some people, there may be a physical gift. Some could be a monetary gift. Some, it could just be an investment of time. And you know that you think about God investing time from eternity past. He planned out his love gift. You know, if you've ever really, if you like giving gifts to people that you love, you know what the hardest thing about it is once you find that precious gift? What is the, somebody said, if you love giving gifts and you find the gift you know is perfect, what is the hardest thing about that gift once you find it? Say it. Waiting for them to open it. I mean, you keep thinking, you know, waiting for the gift. There's times that, like maybe an anniversary or something, and I'm glad sometimes I have an impatient wife, you know, and I say it like this, and that's a compliment because sometimes she want to open her gift early, and if I found the right gift and I just didn't have to pick something, I'm waiting, hoping that she's going to ask, can she open it early? Because I want to give the gift. And sometimes the Christmas time and when we get gifts for the children. And sometimes it's hard to find things you know they like. And you try, but when you know you've got that gift. And I remember a couple of times they said, can we open early? And you're like, yeah, it's okay. You know? And it's not so I can get what I get because I know what I've got them. And that's exciting because I've got the gift. And I know it's what they wanted. I know it's what, and sometimes it's something that they need. Now, what you think about God being love? From eternity past, he created mankind. And even once Adam and Eve were created, him knowing he had the remedy and looking forward to giving the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and waiting for you and I to open the gift. I think about January 20th, 1993, when I was saved by the grace of God. And that day, the Spirit of God, that Wednesday morning, when I was on the interstate about 8:30, and God convicted me through the preaching I heard that Sunday night, and I knew I was lost. I knew I was trusting my good works. I knew I needed to be born again. That day, the Holy Ghost brought that message back to mind, and the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ became so real to me. And I that Wednesday morning, I believe God was waiting for me to open that gift. Amen. And he was excited about that gift. And he said, here it comes. He started tearing it back. And he's looking for the eyes. You know how you watch people. And now we can record everything, you know. And you can record and you're waiting to see that expression on their face, you know. And he's saying, wow, what a gift. You know, I'm when I finally got my wife something from Burks, you know. I knew I was waiting for that response, you know. What was going to happen, you know. Because I knew it'd be exciting for her. And she experienced value by the magnitude of the gift. Love makes you feel valuable. There's no greater gift that could ever be given by anyone than what God gave. And so often, you know, we determine our value by what we see in the mirror. If we think we look like whatever the type of person we ought to be, We determine a value if we walk somewhere, somebody looks at us a strange way or something. We determine a value, maybe you lost a job, and people feel helpless, like they have no value sometimes when they lose a job. Maybe you didn't do well on a school paper or something. You lose a game. Something happens in your life that didn't go the way you thought it would. If you had a relationship, your relationship broke off, you feel you lose value. But you know, God is love. He values you. And God gave an eternal gift that showed his value for you. And it was a gift that you didn't earn. It's a gift that you couldn't have planned it so good. And it's a gift that was priceless. I think in Psalm 59, the Bible says no man can by any means redeem his brother by his wealth or riches, because it says for the redeeming of their soul is precious. God wouldn't dare have your soul be bought with money, because your soul is so much more valuable than that. He said, I want to buy it with my blood. I want them to know that it's my life for theirs. And you know, and honestly, the most valuable gift you receive from people is when you really know it cost them part of themselves. If it took great labor, it took great sacrifice, maybe somebody did without something to give you something, but you know they had to deny themselves to give you something. Those are the gifts that you know are the most precious to you. I think of my pastor, the countless hours that he spent with me in the middle of the night teaching me things about God, teaching me things about just daily living, teaching me things about even how to be a better husband, and teaching me things. And the time he gave, I remember so many times, about 1:30 in the morning, we just barely stayed awake yawning. But he's still sharing things to help me to be like Christ. And then his love corrected me in different times. Thank God for that. He showed his value for me by what he gave to me. Notice what the Bible says here. Now, the Bible records about the church here, about their great giving. But I want you to see what Jesus Christ did, because people only do what Jesus did. Now, verse 1 of Romans, pardon me, stay where we're at. 2 Corinthians 8, my brain's moving too fast. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing even of themselves. Now, love gives beyond their power. You know, I think about the Bible says, well, since they're emulating the life of Christ, you know, how did Jesus give beyond his power? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus could not sin, so God made him sin. Made him to be sin for us. It was beyond his power to do that. So Jesus set the example. His love, he overcame our sin through becoming our sin. It says here, next thing we see, verse 4, praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Verse 5 says, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord. Value is shown, as we've said, by overcoming. He gave his own self. When people give their self, it showed you value. And then we see in verse 3, they were willing of themselves. You know, true value is shown for you when someone gives up their own will for your benefit. And so when you know that somebody sacrificed what they really wanted to do for you, it gives you value. It gives you meaning. And love gives value, and God is love. God's light, he allows us to make things, we can see properly because of God. It's amazing when you stay out of the Word of God, there's no real vision of what God can do with you. Overcoming. You know, when you're not walking in the love of God, you see your sin as a hopeless situation. You see the ability to have an eternal impact is hopeless and meaningless. You know, who'd have thought? You know, and when we were praying Friday night, you know, that we'd ever hear about what God did at the CNE. And thank God it was a faithful servant. God used your prayers to help work in a situation and overcame somebody's situation. God says, we pray. And it makes a difference. I'm sure, I know they were praying, their church was praying, but people come together and pray. Results in things happen, overcoming someone's lost condition for an eternity, giving someone value. Suicide is an all-time high because people don't know of the love of God. Murder happening all the time because people don't value life because they have not experienced the love of God. Last thing we see in the E regarding love, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but it's simply say it's eternal. I mean, it just never ends, amen? What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. And aren't you glad that you ought to give a testimony about the mercy of God? God never gets tired of giving mercy. God is always ready to give grace. Aren't you glad that God never gets to one day and he says, I'm tired of you. His love is always showing forth. He should have broadened our hearts eternal. From eternity past, he chose a way to love the world. And God is eternal. God is light. God overcomes. God gives value. And God is eternal. So any attribute you see of God is dependable anytime, any moment, everywhere, anytime. And one of the most powerful things, you know what? Many people never get involved in relationships. You know why? Because they've looked at what they've seen in the world and they just don't think it's going to last. Many people are afraid to be married. Because they would like to be in a loving relationship, but they look around, and because not being immersed and be and fearful of what God really is, they say, you know, I'd like to be in that, but I just don't think it's going to last. But the eternal power of God is what makes a difference. Many people are not steadfast in their Christian relationship with God because they just don't believe they can keep it up. God will, you know, if God spoke to your heart about losing your life tonight, you think, well, man, how am I going to keep that up? I know what God wants you to do, but how could I ever keep that up based on the eternal power of God? God only asks you to worry about today. That's what Matthew 6:34 says, take ye no thought for the morrow. For the things of the morrow shall take the thought of themselves. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, you know. Anytime we say you can't hold out, just say, you're holding out, you're right here. The time when I say, Lord, I can't go another step, but I made this step. You know? And you'll be amazed. And it's not based on Zechariah, I think, 4:6. It's not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. So it's based on God's eternal power. It's based on God's eternal love. It's based on God's eternal grace, God's eternal mercy, God's eternal word that we have. And we rest in it. But if you don't believe that he is, you'll miss out on the light. You'll go into the darkness. Because you know what? In the darkness, again, darkness is not the total absence. You can see in the darkness. And you can still do things in the darkness. Used to always say I like night better than the daytime. But I don't like darkness. Or dark. I was here when the blackout was here. I know it's going to be dark. I remember we spent, I think, 11 days at my parents' house. And Christmas Day, my mother was cooking dinner. And it was a blackout in the whole area. It was dark. Everything's sounds magnified. But I was so glad when my dad brought a little light in there. You know, we could see something. You could walk without stumbling over everything, you know. But when you really focus on the light. Again, think about if you're one of those rebellious kids like I was, you ever looked directly in the sun? And you know what the amazing thing is? If you looked at it long enough, praise God, God knows that there are rebellious people like me around. So he made my light, my eyes are the natural protection factor. Even if I tried to look in it long enough, my eyes automatically shut themselves. Because I remember choking sometimes, looking at it as long as I could. But you know what happens? It's amazing what happens if you do that long enough. You just see the light. And even once you finally look away, even when you close your eyes, all you see is light. And the thing about God, when you look at him long enough and focus straight enough, even if you look away for a moment, you still see the light. And I thought about that. You know, only people that really, really do like the dark are those that are asleep. And even people that are going to bed, they really don't want it dark when they first go to bed. They want darkness. They want just a little bit of light, number one, so they can find a bed, right? But many people are afraid to go to sleep in total dark because it's not natural for us. Even when we want to go to sleep, we want just a little bit of light left. And God says, you know what? It's high time that we awake out of sleep. And so God is light. And I tell you, every earthly thing you've ever enjoyed is because of light. And think of how much more you can enjoy if you immerse yourself in God who is light. Every time you feel defeated, if you immerse in the love of God, you could overcome the world. We have earthly victories in the flesh just by the bodies that God made. God is love. He made us, right? So, and how much more could you overcome the world, those feelings of helplessness, those times you just want to give up on everything, the times you just live in total fear, if you just immerse yourself in the God who is light, who is love, who overcomes. And the times when you wish you were something else and wish you could be somewhere else, wish you could do something else, and times you don't feel like you measure up, the times you don't feel like you feel like your failures overshadow your victories. And the times you feel like when you think everybody's looking at you and you think that people are thinking the worst of you, remember the one who is God has shown eternal value for you by the death of his son. And when the fears are creeping in and thinking, how are you going to make it? People my age are fearful about retirement. How are they going to live when they can't work anymore? People younger than me are fearful. How are they going to live when they can't work anymore? People right now with money in the bank are fearful. What if it ever runs out? Again, I say relationship. People are afraid of relationship because they feel, how's the love going to last? Well, through God. And when you have the fear of these things, when your eyes are on these temporal things, you're fearful going to end. Just remember, the eternal love of God does not end because God is love, God is light, God overcomes, God values, and God is eternal. So the next time you're in a quiet place and God himself, trusting that you're saved tonight, not a preacher, not a Christian friend, but the Bible says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. When God himself calls you, think about the fact that he is love before you make the decision whether or not you're going to come or not. And if you believe that he is everything that the Bible shared it is tonight, I don't think it'd be too hard to come when he calls. Amen. He may call you into suffering. May call you into sacrifice. May call you into some act of service. Or call you just to trust him in a greater way. But just knowing that he's everything the Bible says he is makes it an easy trek to say, Father, here am I. Send me. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for the precious people that are assembled together for thy namesake. I thank you for your marvelous unchangeableness about yourself and your grace that's so matchless. And Lord, I'm thankful for the fact that you are love tonight.